Welcome to What the Fantasy. I am Brandon Hay, and you can find me on Twitter at HayB3.
Evening, everybody. I'm Zadi Kantabedia, and you can find me at ZKantFF on Twitter.
Brandon, so how's it going? It's good. We survived preseason. It's over. It was a shorter preseason. Did you like the shorter preseason?
Yeah, I did. Actually, it caught me off guard. I kind of forgot that we only did 3 weeks, but it was nice. It was kind of like it kind of got down to the point. I think another week of preseason would have just kind of wore on everybody. Everybody's kind of ready to get to the regular season by now.
Definitely. Yeah, so because really the fourth week, everyone just plays backups anyway. So it's kind of I guess it's good for the bottom of the roster players. But, you know, for fantasy purposes, we don't really need that as much.
Yeah, no, it just kind of like it really lets us know. It really puts emphasis on it, on who certain teams don't favor anymore, and you can just kind of tell who's going to get cut. It's easier to tell who's going to get cut by who's still playing in the fourth quarter. You're like, all right, that guy's gone. Or even third quarter, you're like, all right, that guy's gone. So we saw a lot of cuts this week, man. We saw a lot of we saw a couple surprising ones, like Damian Harris got cut from the Patriots, but then got signed back to their practice squad. Tyler Beatty got cut, then signed back to the practice squad. Unfortunate for those guys. I think they're really those guys are running backs. I think they're really talented players, and you hate to see them sit on the practice squad. I'd rather see them out in free agency and get picked up by another team who will use them. I really didn't see anything too much outside of that. We saw Sony Michel get cut from the Miami Dolphins. He's going to the Los Angeles Chargers, going to try out for them. I feel like he's going to be a name that's going to be relevant sometime in like middle of the season where people are going to start to pick him up. Yeah, man, it's a lot of moving pieces. Got to move with it. I was in a league. I'm in one redraft league. I just drafted on for Sunday, and I'm already making moves. And everybody's looking at me. They're like, "Why are you doing all these things?" I'm like, "It's cut day, guys. It's cut day. You got to adjust. You got to start moving things around." They had no idea what was going on. They didn't know it was cut day. But yeah, man, you got to adjust.
Yeah, I picked up – I was surprised Tyler Johnson was cut from the Butts, and I've been picking him up a lot since he went to the Texans, pretty much walks into the third wide receiver spot there, and we think they're going to throw the ball a lot. And, you know, the less that Chris Conley is on the field, the better, because I don't think he's very good. And then also I was surprised Marlon Mack was waived but then brought back on the practice squad. I thought he would go somewhere else. Kenyon Drake goes to Baltimore, and I don't know if you saw this video. It looked like J.K. Dobbins was limping a little bit after a drill.
Yeah.
Michael Hasty went to the Jags, so that probably means they weren't really thrilled with what they saw from Snoop Connor, at least, you know, or either that or James Robinson. It's kind of up in the air. I've heard he looks like he's ready to go, but he's not going to be 100% probably this season. So those are some definitely interesting moves, and probably with the signing of Sonny Michel, that really limits the potential of Isaiah Spiller this year. He's been dealing with an injury anyway.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. We also saw Trey Sermon get cut. It was inevitable, but it was kind of like it's almost sad. And it was kind of stupid because he was taking a lot of valuable snaps that Ty Davis Price or Jordan Mason could have been having early on in the game against higher quality defensive players. And it's like they knew they were going to cut him the entire time, but they kept starting him every single time. Like, he's not going to get better in 1 week. You know who he is by now. You can clearly see when you're watching, he just isn't cut out for whatever Kyle Shanahan wants to do, that scheme. Everybody else on that roster is, and kind of got upset about that, but you know, I wish good luck to Trey Sermon, and I hope he finds somewhere he can fit. I'm sure he'll get picked up. He's definitely not landing on the Niners practice squad, though, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, it was weird because they kept on saying, you know, he's had the best camp, he's really made all this progress and everything, and then early on it looked like they were going to keep him on the roster with all the other running backs, but then finally let him go. That is definitely weird. Maybe they thought by playing him early, if he looked good, then they could trade him. That's the only thing that I can think of.
Yeah, they're definitely putting on a show for everybody else, and it didn't really work out. But, Yeah, it's gonna be a tumultuous season over there in San Francisco, just because you know they signed Jimmy G, and that's a whole other conversation. But it's not good for Trey Lance.
Yeah, they definitely hedged their bets on that, and some people on Twitter have been saying it's gonna be like the Tua and Fitzmagic year, you know, which I could see, and obviously that probably helped Tua back a little bit because he was always worried behind his shoulder, you know, if he played poorly, they were gonna put Fitzpatrick in. So I wonder if Shanahan will do that with the 49ers, or how long of a leash Trey Lance really has.
I think this is an important lesson, and it's something that I've come around to, and I wasn't doing last year, but I've come around to more this year, is to understand to not conflate our biases as fantasy addicts and fantasy players with the expectations and the practicality of the head coaches in the NFL. Like, you have to understand that there's a difference between having expectations as a fantasy player and excitement for a quarterback who has insane athleticism and rushing upside. That's fine and dandy, but coaches want someone that can move the ball downfield, who understands how to go through reprogressions. You know, you have to find a happy marriage between understanding your biases and the way a coach thinks. And especially after, like, it's important to understand how each coach thinks, right? Not all coaches think like Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan can be a pain in the ass sometimes, but he's also great because he allows players like Jordan Mason to stick on teams where other coaches won't supersede the draft capital that they spent on players. They'll be stubborn and they'll stick with the draft capital. And then you got Kyle Shanahan, who's like, no, Jordan Mason can play. I don't care if he's a UDFA. He's going to stay on the team. He's a good player. I love that about him. And, you know, another guy that's like that is kind of like Pete Carroll. Like, he doesn't care. Everything's like open competition. He doesn't care if he spends like a third-round draft capital on you and there's a seventh-round running back. Like, I like that. You know, it drives us crazy, but I like that because it lets the opportunity and lets the talent shine through. And it actually makes, if you think about it, if you're paying attention to preseason, it actually makes it easier to see who's going to come out on top. Because if draft capital doesn't mean anything, then all we have to look at is pure skill and what they're putting out on tape. So I appreciate that about what Kyle Shanahan's doing.
One thing before we move on, I think what at least I've seen, you know, especially with the Vikings letting go a lot of their draft picks from last year, is teams are not staying with their draft picks as long. Like before, it was kind of people were stubborn. They're like, we drafted this guy, we need to keep him 3 or 4 years to see, make sure we're right. But now they're like, if they're not good within a year, year and a half, and bring in someone that's better than them, we're going to cut bait and everything. So I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Amir Smith Marset got cut, right? Like, that guy's a playmaker, I think. He's a playmaker. I don't think he deserved to get cut. He's a playmaker. I know he was from the Mike Zimmer regime, but, I mean, I like him better than Jalen Naylor. I would have kept Marset. You could have used him in different ways, but, yeah, he's gone now, so. You know, and he'll get picked up too somewhere probably.
Yeah, speaking of him, I would like him to go to somewhere like the Cowboys or the Giants. They're wide receiver needy. I think he can play right away, especially for the Giants, because I don't it seems like Tony's still dealing with an injury and all those other receivers are kind of up in the air. So I thought we would do a name game today with Damian Pierce. Everyone's loves him and everything with the cutting of Marlon Mack. He's going back to the practice squad. It looks like he's going to get the main touches. So we're going to see redraft. This is just for redraft. If we would take Damian Pierce or this other running back. So first of all, we hope that Brian Robinson heals quickly. But since so the first name is Antonio Gibson. He has he was kind of trending down, but I guess turning more up now with that injury. So would you take Damian Pierce or Antonio Gibson this year?
I would not. I understand that Antonio Gibson is now trending up because there are more available touches, but I believe that, let me just say this before I get into all these names, that if you look at Lovie Smith and how he's utilized running backs, Lovie Smith feeds running backs anywhere between 220 to 270 to 280 touches. And that all varies depending on how good of a receiver that running back is. Now, I think Damian Pierce is an underrated receiver. I think he'll be utilized as a receiver. Yes, Rex Burkhead is there, but Rex Burkhead is 34,000 years old, and he is always injured, and he's just not a threat. He's not a threat to Damian Pierce. Dameon Pierce is going to have that backfield, a lot of that backfield to himself. So that said, I think Antonio Gibson, I'm taking Dameon Pierce over Antonio Gibson. And I'm not rising as quickly as everybody else is in the wake of Brian Robinson's injury, primarily because I think J.D. McKissic is going to receive some early down work more than he used to, because Ron Rivera is clearly afraid of Antonio Gibson's fumbling issue. Now, each coach weighs this kind of thing differently. Ron Rivera is sick and tired of it. He doesn't want to deal with it. He wants to cut it down. He wants to minimize it. Brian Robinson had the job from the first week of preseason. Maybe before that. We don't know that, but we saw it. We saw visual evidence in the first week of preseason. Antonio Gibson's fumbling issue came back. Brian Robinson was already making waves in training camp. I think J.D. McKissic is kind of an undervalued guy, and I think he's going to eat into the early down work more than people are anticipating. So I'm taking Dameon Pierce over Antonio Gibson for those reasons.
I also am going to do that, but it's probably closer for me. One thing I don't understand about Ron Rivera is if he doesn't like Antonio Gibson's fumbling problems, then why is he having him return kicks? Like, I don't understand. There's something that some reason, I don't know what Antonio Gibson's doing, but there's some reason with that. So I do agree, Dameon Pierce. Before, I kind of think this could kind of be like James Robinson 2 years ago on a bad offense, on a bad team. You know, people think they're going to throw the ball a lot, but still, you know, they're still going to get carries there and, you know, pass attempts and kind of, I think it's going to be similar because this Texans offense has pieces that can be fantasy relevant, kind of like that Jaguars offense with James Robinson. I believe that was the year DJ Chark really came out too. So I think, you know, that's possible. So the next one is someone that a lot of people are fading this year, Ezekiel Elliott. I think people are over exaggerating that a little bit, but I'm still take Zeke in this because he's still going to get the bulk of the carries and get the touchdown opportunities because it looks like they're going to have Pollard split out in the slot more with their wide receiver problems. So I would still take Zeke in this over Dameon Pierce. How about you?
I think at ADP, like straight up, I'd probably want Zeke, but at ADP, I'd probably take Dameon Pierce here again, because if you look at who Zeke is going around, you got A.J. Brown going next to him. I think I'd rather have A.J. Brown. I'd rather have Pittman. I'd rather have Higgins. I might rather take Pitts. There's a lot of receivers over there that I'd rather have than Zeke. And then, like, I'm looking at Football Guys ADP, and Dameon Pierce, I believe, is going in the – did I see here? He's here somewhere. Give me 1 second. He's going at 96th overall, but he's risen 14 spots in the past few days. So I'd rather have Dameon Pierce in the 9th round over Zeke in wherever he's going in the 4th round, or he's going in the back of the third round. Sorry.
I'm surprised Dameon Pierce hasn't moved up ADP yet. Do you think he's going to – I mean, it's probably too late now because we only have like a week till season, but I'm just surprised people have been slower to move him up the ADP.
I think – well, it shows a 14-spot rise. That's a big jump. Like, I've been looking at this ADP throughout the entire offseason, and you've never seen a 14-spot jump once. But you're seeing big jumps now because of preseason. You're seeing these big jumps now in preseason. So now, like, you're seeing – like, George Pickens got a 22 jump. Spot jump. Brian Robinson, 40-spot climb, right? So Dameon Pierce, he's part of that. He's part of that climb. He's part of that preseason hype climb. Romeo Doubs, 18-spot climb. But still, like, say even if Dameon Pierce goes in the 8th round, I'm still taking Dameon Pierce in the 8th round. I think by the time the season gets here, I think he'd probably rise to the 5th round tops. And I think at the cheaper ADP, I'd just rather have Dameon Pierce, and I'd rather have the receivers going in Zeke's range. I like Zeke. I do. I still think he'll be productive this year, but I'd rather have the receivers going in that range.
Gotcha. Yeah. So next, I know is a player you really like. He's not a starter, but he's pretty much, you know, 1B if you do that 1A, 1B. So A.J. Dillon, would you rather have A.J. Dillon or Dameon Pierce?
A.J. Dillon. AJ Dillon. Yeah, I'm ride or die AJ Dillon. I think AJ Dillon's going to get Pierce's volume easily, and he's going to be on a better offense. And he's just cheaper still. I think he's still cheaper than Dameon Pierce is. He might be. Let's see.
It's probably pretty close, right?
No, AJ Dillon's way higher than him, actually. AJ Dillon's 54th, and Dameon Pierce is, yeah, back in the 9th round, 10th round. Man, I don't want to backstab AJ Dillon, dude. I don't want to do it, but I might have to. I might have to take Dameon Pierce here. If he's in fact going after AJ Dillon 4 rounds later, yeah, I'll take Dameon Pierce. Give me a cheaper guy. And this is all about becoming about cost, right? Like, where can you get the bargain? Where can you get those touches? Those high volume touches.
Definitely. So next one is a player that some people are high on. I guess some people are high. I think he's going to regress some. James Conner with the Cardinals. He had the ridiculous amount of touchdowns last year. But the thing is, that's happened 2 straight years with him and then Kenyon Drake the year before. Seems like Kingsbury likes to pick one running back and just let him fall in the end zone from like a couple yards out. But I still think he's going to have less touchdowns, and he wasn't overly efficient last year. Chase Edmonds was more efficient when he got the ball, but he did get those touchdowns. So who do you take, Dameon Pierce or James Conner?
There's no way I can take James Conner. He's just going way too high. I haven't touched him at all this entire offseason. Where he's going at pick 30, man. James Conner's going at pick 30. Old James Conner. I love James Conner. I've been a James Conner fan for like the longest time. But again, I'm not taking him at pick 30. Are you crazy? Like, I'm not taking him at pick 30. No way. Give me anybody else, dude. Give me anybody else at pick 30. I'm definitely taking Dameon Pierce over James Conner. Wow. I never realized I was this high on James Conner, on Dameon Pierce, until we started this discussion.
Yeah, I'm surprised Conner's that high, but I guess people are kind of just going based on all of his touchdowns last year.
You know what I realized about ADP and consensus ADP? This shit is oppressive, dude. This shit makes you a slave. If people look at this stuff and they draft based off of this stuff, it just makes you like, it's so oppressive. It just tells you how to think, and it none of it really, I don't know. I don't like ADP. Like, James Conner, like, he's kind of a trap this year. Like, he's valued way too high. I don't know, man. I don't like it a lot. I don't like any of it. Anyways, that's just something I've go ahead.
Yeah, so next is a player that I was high on before his Achilles injury last year. Cam Akers. He's still dealing with some issues, both him and Daryl Henderson. I'm not nearly as high on him, so I would definitely take Dameon Pierce over Akers this year in redraft. I'm guessing you would take Pierce also, but what do you say about Akers?
Yeah, what do I say about Akers is no, ever, never. I only have Akers in one league, and that's a Dynasty League that I got him in. I've got Cam Akers in the Dynasty League after he tore his Achilles, and I got him for like $2 in an auction draft. So that's why I have Cam Akers. Other than that, I have Cam Akers nowhere. I'm not messing with him.
Fair. And so the last one is David Montgomery. There's been reports about, how much they're going to use Khalil Herbert. I saw one report where I don't know how, valid it is, but there's, they like David Montgomery, but there's concerns that Herbert might be a better fit for that offense. So, he probably is not going to get the huge workload that he had previously with the Bears, and that offensive line is horrible anyway. So, would you take Pierce or Montgomery?
Pierce.
Because all the reasons. Yeah. Is it an easy decision for you?
Easily. Like, I don't even have to struggle with that one in my head. There's nothing. There's just no conflict. There's no argument about it at all, internal conflict at all. David Montgomery is behind one of the worst offensive lines in football. He is. And Khalil Herbert is going to be a factor. And the offense is not going to be as efficient as we want it to be. Just don't. They're probably going to be like a sub-4 win team. Just take the guy later who's going to be on a team who's probably going to have the same amount of wins, probably more, And they're probably going to be able to move the ball down the field way better. Just take that guy. Just take Dameon Pierce. Don't invest in bad offenses, right, on non-elite players early in drafts. If you're going to invest in bad players who aren't elite on bad if you're investing in players who are not elite on bad offenses, do it later in the draft. Do it past the sixth, seventh round.
Okay, fair. So, little summary. I believe the only one you would take over Dameon Pierce is A.J. Dillon, and the only two that I would have taken over is A.J. Dillon and Zeke. So that was
I might take Pierce over Dillon.
So it's a close decision for you.
I think it's like, yeah, if anything, it's like I think I'd take Pierce over all these guys just because he's so cheap. That's it. And it's not a reflection on how I feel about them as players or the production they can put up. It's just the fact that if I can pivot to another receiver or a tight end, I'll take those guys instead.
All right, fair enough. Next, with redraft, the last week of redraft really coming up. So thought we'd talk about three players we are avoiding in redraft. So I'll go first. My first player is Josh Jacobs. I don't know what ADP you used, but I used Sleeper's ADP. So he's going 48th, and that's still too high for me because I don't know what that backfield's going to do. It cleared up a little bit with the cutting of Kenyon Drake, but Amir Abdullah is going to have the passing work, which they seem to like him. I think Josh Jacobs is going to split some time with Zamir White, and it's going to be a little Patriot-esque with how they use the running backs week to week. And I just don't know if you're going to be able to trust him. And I don't really know what his upside is. Probably still just a running back two. I don't think he can get up to that running back one that he's, flirted with in the years past.
Yeah, I think the only upside with Josh Jacobs is that he has a division that he plays on, and the team is going to be substantially better with Devontae Adams now there. So I think that's the only upside with Josh Jacobs as RB2. But, I mean, yeah, the situation isn't good. I'm with you. I'm not taking him at 48th overall, nonetheless. My guy is J.K. Dobbins, who's going also in the middle of the fourth round. We're seeing reports every single day. He's not ready to go. Why? I like the talent. He's an extremely good talent in a run-heavy offense. Not saying he's not good. Not investing that kind of fourth-round draft capital that early in a back who isn't ready to play by week one. And we don't know when he's going to be ready. We don't know when he's going to be game ready. We don't know if he's going to have an injury again or re-injure his ACL again. I don't know that. I'm just more skittish. I wish he was going like three rounds, four rounds later. I'm not going to invest that early on J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, it kills me because I really like J.K. Dobbins in some of the drafts I had earlier, especially in a lot of the charity leagues. I got J.K. Dobbins because – from the reports, he was going to be back. So I'm still not totally out because say he still is fairly healthy come by week three or four, I think that's still fine. But the way I saw him limp after that drill today, a week from the season, that really worries me. And obviously they signed Kenyon Drake. So definitely. So my second one is DK Metcalf, and he's in the fourth round also. And Sleeper, he's one pick ahead of Josh Jacobs. I like DK Metcalf. I just don't know if you can trust that Seattle offense this year, especially with Geno Smith. You would think, DK could rise above that. But I just think that Seattle offense is going to be bad, and they're going to try to run the ball a lot. And just at that spot, there's tons of receivers I would rather have over him. Like him in Dynasty, because I would feel like they're going to get their quarterback next year, but definitely don't love him in redraft this year.
And going back to what J.K. Dobbins, the whole injury thing, I heard somebody say today on a different podcast, they said, don't go looking for injuries before the season even starts, and don't go trying to mess with injuries because the injuries are going to find you anyways during the regular season. Like, you're going to get banged up anyways. So don't go already messing with injury plague players because early in drafts, because those injuries are going to come find your fantasy team whether you like it or not. So I thought that was a really good piece of wisdom for redraft. My second guy is Brandon Ayuk. I'm not really on board with the 49ers pass catchers while Trey Lance is the quarterback, primarily because I just don't think they're going to have a high pass rate with the 49ers this year. I think Trey Lance, as a fantasy asset, is going to be great because I think he'll have northward. I think 8 rush attempts a game is a safe assumption for Trey Lance. I think they're going to keep that ball on the ground. Them bringing back Jimmy Garoppolo is an indication of how they feel, I think, about not wholly, but partially how they feel about Trey Lance as a passer and as a complete quarterback. I think it's a safe assumption to say that he is not a complete quarterback at this time. He came from North Dakota. He came from a small school. He didn't go against significant competition. He's still developing, right? His athleticism can take him so far, but in the NFL, in the NFC West, against the Rams, it's going to take more than athleticism, just pure athleticism to win that division. So going back to Brandon Ayuk, I'm not high on him because I don't think there's going to be many pass attempts to go towards him. So I don't think he's going to be much of a value. He's a great talent, but I don't think he's a valuable asset in fantasy football this year.
The only thing for Ayuk with me, it seems like he has a pretty good chemistry with Trey Lance. So it'll be interesting, you know, how he's kind of used. But I kind of agree. I think the problem is there's going to be – I could see very easily there's going to be weeks where Trey Lance plays well. I just think he's going to be inconsistent all year and kind of like the Tyler Lockett effect in a way. You're going to have games with those receivers where they're, you know, really good games and then really bad games. And that's sometimes the worst for fantasy because you don't know which week that's going to be and you're kind of, you know, gambling everything. So I see where you're coming with that. The whole Trey Lance thing, I wish I knew about this Jimmy Garoppolo thing before my draft last Sunday because I picked Trey Lance as my second quarterback in a Superflex league. So, you know, I don't feel great about that, but I hope, you know, it'll work out.
Just ride the train, dude. Just ride till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, in that league, actually, my two quarterbacks are Jalen Hurts and Trey Lance. So I went all with that running upside. So, you know, either going to live or, you know, die with that. And my last player is Amari Cooper, ADP 58. I was actually really high on Amari Cooper when he came to Cleveland because I think I really like Amari Cooper. I think Dallas didn't necessarily get all out of him, but with Jacoby Brissett playing 11 games, I just think Brissett's going to want to throw the ball more in the middle of the field. So I could see David Njoku, you know, getting more targets, and even someone like a possession receiver like rookie David Bell, who seems like that guy over the middle, I could see him getting those. And I just think they're going to run the ball a ton and get it to the running back. So I think Kareem Hunt's going to get even more carries, and Nick Chubb's even going to get more carries because they're going to try to play defense, not make Jacoby pass the ball too much. Obviously, when Deshaun Watson comes back, it should be better. But we don't know what Deshaun Watson's going to look like. When he's played in preseason, he hasn't looked great, you know. He's going to be rusty. So that's why, you know, I would not want to pick Amari Cooper that high in redraft.
Yeah, these ADPs are just nuts that we're just seeing right now. I mean, Amari Cooper at 58, are you kidding me? It's going to be like if David Bell gets the start, it's going to be David Bell and Njoku. Like we saw, like, David Njoku played – I don't know. I know he played at least the first quarter. I don't know how long into the second quarter he played last week, but he was targeted on 22% of his routes last week, right? And for reference, I put out a tweet earlier this week saying that for reference, elite tight ends, like your Wallers, your Pitts, Andrews, Kelsey's, they're targeted anywhere between 20 to 25% of their routes run, right? And Njoku was targeted on 22% of his routes run by Jacoby Brissett last week. And Jacoby Brissett has always targeted his tight ends heavily. I think we have a substantial track record that shows that. So, yeah, Amari Cooper, not great in a run-heavy offense where Amari Cooper's going to be lined up on the outside, just not good. My last player is a combination of both because they're going right next to each other. It's Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. And this has to go back to the entire how do you want to build your roster thing. Like, if this is a one QB league, I'm not taking Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert at the top, at the back of the third, that 38th and 39th, I'm going to wait till the 7th round, 6th round, 8th round, take Mahomes. I mean, take Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow. These guys, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, they have no rushing upside. There's no real incentive to grab them. They're not, like, I don't think they're candidates. They could, but, like, Tom Brady is, like, one of the only pure passers that could put up as many touchdowns as he does and have no rushing upside. Like, Tom Brady, I think, like, 2 years ago, he put up the most rushing passing touchdowns he had in a year into his entire career and still finishes QB10. So I'm not taking a statue quarterback when I can get rushing quarterbacks 4 or 5 rounds later. It just doesn't sit too well with me. So those are my two quarterbacks. That's kind of like who I'm out on right now.
Yeah, I agree. At the end of the third round would be too high, but just the way I build teams, I'd probably, if it was late in the fourth or the fifth, I might take a chance at those, because what I like to do in one quarterback leagues is, you know, in the first, I guess, like 5 rounds, get one of those elite quarterback, so I don't really have to worry about it. I know others like to wait, but I just like to. But I guess this year, the gap between the elite quarterbacks and, like, you know, quarterbacks like 7 and 8 aren't nearly as big as it has been in the past.
I agree, and that's why I'm waiting. And because they're, like I said, those rushing quarterbacks are still there. Like, there's just more upside at the position than later in the draft than there is earlier in the draft, right? Like, that's just all there is to it. Jalen Hurts, that guy's good for rushing touchdowns all the time, and he's going to go way later in the draft. He's still incredibly, incredibly undervalued. So give me that all day. Trey Lance, like you said, Trey Lance, you want to ride that? Take Trey Lance later. If anything, Trey Lance's ADP has fallen now that Jimmy G is signed. You want to get crazier? Take Justin Fields if you want to get real crazy. I think Justin Fields is going to have a lot of rushing production, and we're going to get to that later on in the show.
And just to, on the Justin Fields, I know, you know, I didn't watch the games, you know, I watched the highlights of Justin Fields in this last preseason game against the Browns. So I don't know, you know, what level defense he was playing, but I mean, I think he looked really good. They are, what I was worrying about is them moving him around. It seems like they're moving him around. He made some very nice throws. I think he has improved so far in this preseason from last year. Obviously in the regular season it'll be different, but it seems like they're at least going to be more flexible and adapt more than Nagy did last year. So I'm actually, I think Fields for me is definitely trending up.
Absolutely. You love to see them getting him in space. You love to see him on the naked bootlegs, getting him in space, putting him in positions to go through his progressions. And if it's not there, run the ball. You love that.
Definitely. So just before we move on to the next segment, just wanted to say, this is What the Fantasy, and we are going to be weekly now on Wednesday nights. And also, I want you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. What I'm going to try to do is, as we know, you have been putting those great cut-ups, you know, of players in the preseason. So if you, you know, put some of those on there, do some myself, and, you know, have some, like, weekly things in there. So make sure to subscribe so we can see that content. So now just kind of a football question I wanted to ask. I don't know if I just do this, but during the season, if you have a decision about playing someone on Thursday night or, you know, just on Sunday, does it influence you at all that you want a rooting interest on the Thursday night game, or do you just pick the best player?
Well, I don't have a home team bias. I'm not loyal to a home team, so I'm out on that. But as far as, like, just wanting some action on the table, like, just seeing some action, even if it's a kicker, all right, like, or a defense to pick up a play, like, you want something to be rooted in, interested in. So, yeah, I will probably, like, I'm a degenerate. Like, I like action. Like, I need that. I have that itch, you know, like that. Like, I need that itch, man. I got to have that drug. I need those fantasy points. And then, but Thursday night is just terrible. Thursday nights are rough, man. Thursday nights can hurt you. So just because they're Thursday nights, I really tend to shy away from Thursday nights and keep my full arsenal in the back pocket until Sunday mornings. Thursday nights are just crazy games. Anything can happen on a Thursday night, and it just never really goes as expected. You're really playing with – you're really spitting in the face of the universe on a Thursday night if you try to get crazy.
Yeah, I guess the one thing is I'm, kind of addicted to gambling, so I'm a degenerate. So I like the idea of gambling, Usually, I'll at least try to play one player on a Thursday night game, even especially if I don't think it's going to be a very good game. Like, it's not against good teams, you know, and I think it's, you know, just some kind of rooting interest. But it's definitely killed me because, you know, there's a lot of injuries that happen on Thursday night because of the quick turnaround. Sometimes there's the shoots, crazy shootouts, but then there's some where it's like a 10-3 game. So it's definitely killed me before, but I just can't help myself to play players on Thursday night.
Let me ask you this. When you first draft a fantasy team, do you ever scroll through your entire team's schedule to see how many primetime games you have lined up for yourself?
I do not. I do not do that, and I never look at bye weeks. So the team I just drafted last week, pretty much on week 7, I'm pretty much done. Mostly because I went really into the Eagles. Because I have Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Dallas Goedert. And then Justin Jefferson has that same bye week in week 7. So pretty much, but I don't, let me ask you this. I would much rather have all my players on one bye week, you know, and get that kind of just take that loss, you know, on that week, than have it spread out, you know, and maybe take more than one loss. What's your opinion on that?
I don't want to take a loss if I don't have to, because those things can be, you know, Those can be crucial by season's end. You need that one W. I think every W counts in such a short season. If it was like fantasy baseball, sure. Fantasy basketball, yeah. But in fantasy football, where there's only like 15 regular season weeks, I can't afford to take that L. I've had that happen once where I've had like 80% of my roster on bye, and it was not fun trying to figure out who to drop and who to pick up while the rest of my team was on the bench, right? Like, I didn't have fun dropping certain players because I had to pick up other players to play. And like, it was just not fun. I'm not about that. I'd rather have the bye week spread out and just try to deal with it and manage it like just like that.
The only thing for me, especially if you're in two quarterback leagues, I hate, you know, because you have to roster that third quarterback usually because, you know, the byes. That's what I kind of hate. So that's, you know. I want to ask you to, didn't put this on the show sheet. Actually, my last draft is going to be this Sunday, and it's a league I just joined. It's a touchdown-only league. That's the only thing you get points for. Have you ever been in a league like that?
No, I've heard about them, though.
So one interesting thing is you get extra points based on how far away the touchdown is, and then also you get double points if they score a touchdown in a non-conventional way for their position. So if a quarterback runs it in, you get double points. If a wide receiver runs it in, double points. Running back catches it, you get double points. So I'm going to need to do some serious research this coming week.
So if a quarterback runs it in, he gets double points?
Yes.
So you're going to want to bump up like Lamar Jackson super high.
Right, definitely.
Yeah.
So I have picked 9 out of 12. So I think the person that was one has already said he's going to take Josh Allen. So I'm interested to see how many quarterbacks go before, you know, I go. I would love it 9 if Jalen Hurts is still there.
Yeah, and then you have to bump up Deebo Samuel really high as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, those guys are going to be like tier one players. That's crazy how scoring format just makes those guys elite. And you're like, nope, Deebo Samuel over Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Those guys are going to run it in.
yeah, definitely. So I'm very nervous and excited for this league because, you know, I've never done anything like this. So it's kind of like you throw out like everything you really think because you've got to go based on just guys that score touchdowns.
Yeah, I like crazy scoring format because it makes you really test yourself as a fantasy player. I like it a lot. It's a good challenge. That's cool. I want to see what your team looks like in the end. You share that on the next show when you finish that. I want to see that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We'll talk about that. So now we'll just close out the show with hot takes for the NFL season. So I will start off with my first one. I've always liked Derek Carr as, you know, a second player in Superflex or second quarterback in Superflex. But this year with the addition of Davante Adams and with Josh McDaniels coming there, I like him as my quarterback one. And if I don't get a quarterback early, I will wait on him. So I think Derek Carr is not only going to be a top 8 quarterback, but he's going to throw for over 35 touchdowns, which would be the most of his career. He's only thrown for over 30 once in his career. I just think there's going to be more opportunities with him having Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, and Davante Adams near the goal line. And I think McDaniels is going to be more creative than Gruden was with him, where it was, you know, old school football where I think McDaniels is just going to let him spread the ball out. So that's my first hot take. I guess that's a hot take.
Yeah, no, it makes sense too in that division as well. I think that division is they're gonna force Derek Carr to have to throw the ball too in that division. My first hot take is a very well known hot take if you know me, and that's AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones are gonna finish as the top 12 running backs. So basically, they're essentially gonna finish as RB1s this year. I know it's only been done a few times in history, but the last two times it's been done is in the last 4 years, and it really doesn't have anything to do with the case that I'm making. But it has to do with the setup that we're going into for the first year, because look, we just saw the Packers come out and say that there is no clear wide receiver one for this team. They're going to spread it out, meaning that the passing game, that tells me it's not an emphasis here. Their emphasis, they're going to have to draw plays for the receivers. They're not going to pick receivers to heavily funnel the ball to, right? It's not something that they're really going to focus on. It's not a strength of their team, right? I have done the extensive work. I've looked at this. There's room for both of these guys to exist as RB1s on a weekly basis. Aaron Jones is going to get some run, but he's going to be the primary pass catcher. That's great for him. That's great. They could line him up on the line of scrimmage. AJ Dillon, early down back, goal line back, and a capable receiver. This guy's going to have – he's going to be RB1. He's going to have like 230 to 240 touches easy out of the backfield. So I think those guys are both going to finish the year as RB1s. And for me, it's not a hot take. I'm only putting it up there for everybody else because they think it's a hot take. All of you think it's a hot take.
That's fair. I think I don't know if I would say top 12, but I could definitely see that. I think both are going to be very involved. And I kind of think LaFleur wants this kind of offense where they have a lot more running, because he's been, you know, since he's been there, he's been moving more towards it. But obviously with Davante Adams there, he could never move, you know, even farther to that. So I definitely, and with the, you know, Alan Lazard dealing with the injury, Christian Watson, we don't know. Romeo Dubs has looked good, but he's still a rookie. And, you know, Rodgers has said he still, you know, made some mental errors. And let's face it, he came from, you know, a G5 school in Nevada. I liked him last year, you know, playing with Carson Strong, but it's still going to be, you know, him getting used to it. And he's made some plays in preseason, but that's just like one or two plays in the game. So we'll have to see that. So that, I definitely think that. So for me, if you've seen on Twitter and everything, I'm a big fan of Chase Edmonds. I never thought Arizona used him enough. People always say that he's injury prone, but he's missed a lot less games than a lot of other players that don't necessarily get that tag. I think he's going into the perfect offense at Miami. I know they're going to share some time in the running, in the backfield, but actually with Sony Michel gone, it doesn't really worry me as much. I think even if he gets, you know, 5 to 10 carries, I still think he gets like 5 to 7 targets. I think most of his work is going to be in PPR, you know, format. I have him as a top 20 running back. I just think they're going to, you know, his slashing style and hitting out of the backfield is going to work very well on that offense. And I think usually tight ends are a big outlet for, you know, teams, but it sounds like Mike Gesicki isn't really fitting into what they want to do very much because of his blocking. So I think, you know, when Tua gets in trouble, he might just look for Chase Edmonds coming out of the backfield. So that's why, you know, that's a hot take for me. Top 20 running back, Chase Edmonds.
Chase Edmonds, dude, if people don't know, but Chase Edmonds, he was a workhorse back in college. Like people think he's like the slight running back who can't carry the ball. Like, okay, so this is Chase Edmonds' stats, his carries in college, right? 2014, 294 yards. Next, 294 attempts, 251 attempts, 257 attempts. And that's in 14 games, 12 games, 11 games. And then his final year, 2017, 7 games, 136 attempts. Every year he had over 200 attempts, he ran for 1,838 yards, 1,648 yards, 1,799 yards, nearly 20 touchdowns each of those years. He ran for 23, 20, and 19 touchdowns, right? So this guy can be an early down back. Fine, he gets injured. What running back doesn't? That's a stupid excuse not to draft him. So, yeah, I like the take. My final take is Justin Fields runs over for over 700 yards. I think he's going to have Jalen Hurts-esque 2021 season. if you look at the makeup of the offense, minus the offensive line, you have essentially one primary wide receiver. You have one primary tight end. Outside of that, you have a lot of ancillary pieces that are just kind of like small-time contributors. You have Justin Fields, who is more athletic than Jalen Hurts. Last year, I believe 89% of Justin Fields' runs were scrambles. They were not designed plays. So Justin Fields, that tells you that Justin Fields has a proclivity to want to run the ball himself, right? He has a proclivity to want to take that ball himself after he makes necessary reads. Another thing that Justin Fields does, he holds on the ball for a very long time sometimes. He just doesn't let it go. So that's also going to be another contributing factor to him running the ball a lot, because he's just not going to pass it sometimes. He's going to run. So Justin Fields, I think he can have a 2021 Jalen Hurts-esque season. They have Khalil Herbert. They have David Montgomery. It's going to be almost the same as, I think, the Philadelphia Eagles in 2021.
And I just did the math really quick. If he does play the full season, at that 700 yards, that's only 40 rushing yards a game. You know, obviously, right, there's probably going to be some where he has lower, but I think the majority, he's going to go well over that. And even though he went to Ohio State, I've always been a big fan of Justin Fields. You know, his playing style and everything I really like. And, you know, just I was really hoping the Bears were going to sign Tyler Johnson or some of those other wide receivers. You know, so I'm hoping they kind of look. But even, so they – I really like Darnell Mooney. And Cole Kmet looks pretty good this year. And I know they have a lot of, I guess, what would consider third or fourth wide receivers. But I think you could still make that work in the offense if, as long as you have a good scheme of getting people open. You know, obviously, for the long haul, you want better receivers. But I think this year – and I think Velus Jones, too, is turning up a little bit for me. He's looked very good on especially returns, but you see him in open space. So if they can figure out some ways to get him the ball in open space also, and then, you know, some of the other players like Byron Pringle, he was good for the Chiefs when they threw it to him, just because they had Kelce and Tyreek Hill. They didn't necessarily have to. So maybe he can carve out, a good role for Fields. But definitely, I've liked what I've seen from Fields in the preseason.
All right, your stamp of approval makes me feel a lot better, Brandon. Thank you.
No problem. And another rookie quarterback that I think I've liked, he hasn't necessarily thrown for touchdowns and everything, but just to end the show, I think the Jaguars' offense is going to be sneaky for fantasy purposes. I think Trevor looks a lot more comfortable now that he has a real coach, and they brought in a couple more players. You know, I wasn't totally thrilled with the receivers they brought in, but I think Christian Kirk's going to be good for them. And it looks like Zay Jones is going to be pretty involved, and they're not going to have LaVisca Chenault out there dropping passes anymore. He got traded to the Panthers. And it's long. Cross your fingers with Travis Etienne. But I think he's looked better between the tackles than I thought he would, just preseason. So I think that offense could be sneaky for fantasy purposes. So just wanted to put that out there.
One more bonus question, bonus topic. What's the over-under of games that you think it takes for Sam Howell to take over the starting job for the Washington football team?
See, I think Wentz is going to do well enough to keep the job until maybe they're out of it late in the season, you know, because at least I'm hoping so, because I'm really high on Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. And I just don't know how well Sam Howell would play. But I would say if you get to like week 12 or 13 and they're out of the playoffs, I don't know why you wouldn't look at Sam Howell, unless like Carson Wentz is totally like killing it. If Carson Wentz totally killing it, you're probably not out of the playoffs in week 12 or 13. So that's my answer. What do you think?
I don't have an answer. I don't know. I think we see maybe sometime. I don't have a specific answer. It just kind of occurred to me. The question came to me. But I think we see him. I think we've seen Carson Wentz. We've seen everything we need to. We have a long enough track record of Carson Wentz. We know his limitations. We understand what he is as a passer, his tendencies. You know, like, he has his bright spots, but, you know, he shoots his team in the foot all the time. You know, like, he can only take a team so far. He really can. And I think he's going to hit a wall sooner than later. I think we saw Sam Howell flash in the preseason. The mobility of Sam Howell certainly helps a lot. I think he ran for like 600 yards his final season at North Carolina. So, I mean, he brings a different dimension to the game that Carson Wentz doesn't. Carson Wentz is a high, he's a top-end backup quarterback in my eyes. That's what he is. So I think after a certain point, Ron Rivera is going to get sick of this shit, like he did with Antonio Gibson, pull the plug on Wentz, put in Sam Howell, see what you got. That's what's going to happen. We're going to see Carson Wentz completely bomb against a divisional opponent in week 6. Sam Howell's going to get pulled. I mean, he's going to get pulled. Sam Howell's going to come in, finish the fourth quarter, finish strong, maybe put up a touchdown, but have a good passer percentage, completion percentage. And then the rest of the week, you're going to hear the same coach speak. We don't know who our starting quarterback is. We don't know who our starting quarterback is. We know it's going to be Sam Howell going into that week, and I think Sam Howell's going to take over from that point.
Well, I would actually – I am depending on Carson Wentz, surprisingly, in some leagues, like in Superflex. But I would love for Sam Howell, because I don't understand why he got drafted so late in the draft. I really liked him. There's some things that could stir up, but actually, you know, as late as he got drafted, I loved where he got drafted in Washington, because, you know, Carson Wentz is pretty much a 1 year, like, prove it type thing. If he doesn't, they'll move on. So I could totally see that. So another rookie quarterback, Desmond Ridder, who's seen some bright spots and some, some pretty good games and everything. I actually am, you know, I think kind of like the Jags, I think the Falcons could be fantasy, you know, okay with fantasy-wise, but when do you think Desmond Ridder, or do you think Desmond Ridder is going to see the field this year?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Marcus Mariota, like, he I think he's a better – honestly, I like Marcus Mariota better than Carson Wentz. I do. I just like him better. But I think, yeah, I think Ritter's going to – just solely because these guys showed that they have something to offer in the preseason. Like, they didn't just – you know, go out there and Drew Lockett around. You know, they just didn't just go play reckless. Like, they actually cared, right? Like, they actually, like, put forth an effort. They showed some professionalism. I forgot to watch a lot of Desmond Ridder, and I've been meaning to watch some Desmond Ridder tape. So, I don't know. What did you see? Did you see any Desmond Ridder? Did you get a good look at some Desmond Ridder play?
Yes, I did. And one of my biggest things with Ridder coming into the draft when I watched him in the offseason – it's just consistency on, like, the normal throws, like the slants, the, you know, crosses and everything. And one thing that even the broadcast would say is when he made a mistake across the middle, like throwing it behind the net, very net, same type of play, he corrected that. So I thought I saw a lot of promising things. And with the Falcons probably not being very good this year, I kind of the same thing I said with Wentz and Howell, but they might play Ridder earlier because I think the Falcons are a worse team. I think the same type of thing. If you're losing, even if Mariota is playing okay, why wouldn't you see what Ridder is on the field? So very similar type situations, I think.
Yeah, and I think in Arthur Smith offense, you don't really have to go and be the spread it out, look for the deep sail, deep crosser. You just got to learn how to make the easy passes, make those easy low A dot completions, let the run game take over, and I think, like, you know, that said, I think that's a transition to, I think Tyler Allgeier is going to be somebody that a lot of people are going to be picking up in the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season. I think he's going to be the primary early down back. He'll have a split workload with Cordero Patterson, but I don't think Damian Williams is going to be a part of that backfield or a primary part of that backfield. So, quick aside, be ready for Tyler Allgeier to come, because he's going to make his name known pretty early in the regular season.
Yeah, I think he's looked pretty good, and they've had him in early and seem to play him well into the second, sometimes third quarters, I think, just to get him ready for the season. Because I think they know they can't go into another season where Cordarrelle Patterson gets most of the carries.
What are you going to do? You're going to give Cordarrelle Patterson and freaking Damian Williams, who's like 31 years old, like, you're going to give them the carries? Or are you going to give it to the BYU stud who's a hammer? The guy's insane. He's like Jordan Mason. He's just a bulldozer. Like, you put him in between the 20s and the red zone, just let him run up to the A gap. He's going to get like 6 yards, 7 yards every time. He's got good speed around the edge. Like, he can bounce it back outside and beat, you know, closing defenders, like closing, like, safeties. He can get around them, put a stiff arm on him. he's got some speed around the edge. So I think Tyler Allgeier is very underrated, and he can make Damian Williams obsolete and maybe receive like 55% of the carries in the backfield. No receiving upside. I don't think there's any receiving really. Maybe he might catch one every once in a while, but he'll be a rushing, strictly rushing running back.
Yeah, he's definitely, for what you're going to get him, probably not even drafted. You probably just pick him up he give you flex value, maybe some weeks running back two value. But yeah, he's definitely someone that I think if you have the spot, if you've already drafted and have a spot, you definitely should stash him for the season. Because even if, say, you don't have to play him, if he blows up, you know, the first week or two, and then you can trade him for even more value. All right, so that does it for our show today. Like I said, remember to subscribe to our YouTube page, get more subscribers for more in-season content. We made it. Well, we almost made it. We only have a week left until the regular season starts. So I am Brandon Hay at HayB3.
Yeah, and I'm Zada Kentman at ZKentFF, and I will be posting those player cut-ups that you'll be looking for during the regular season when you want to know what your player looks like. We're going to put them on What the Fantasy YouTube page, so go straight there if you want to know what your player looks like and if he's looking good to pick up off the waiver wire.
Definitely, and if you're not following him, you definitely should. It's on the screen, and because I love all the positive feedback you've been getting on all those cut-ups, because I know that takes a lot of time and effort. And it's been great. So, just want to, put that appreciation out there.
We're doing an Eric Ezukama cut up tonight.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to put that up tonight.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. So everyone can look forward to that. And like I said, we're back to weekly. So we'll see you guys next week, the night before the regular season starts.
Let's go. There, guys.